One, two, yeah. Om Shanti. And good evening. I'm very happy so many brothers and sisters have come. And after a bit of arrangement, I hope you can see. And I like to invite you all who are a bit at the side and a bit far away, why you don't come all a bit in the middle. And here in the brothers' front, there are all the sofas still empty. And if you are there in the corner, and there in the corner, you won't see that much. Okay. I will present to you today a short version of a presentation which I have also given at the UN conferences, and it's split into three parts. And the first part deals with the situation in the world regarding the climate, what is actually really going on. The second part informs you a bit about the activities of the Brahma Kumaris in the area of renewable energies. And the third part, what it's all about, climate change and the thoughts, the power of thoughts. What does it to have with spirituality? And if we can switch off that beautiful white light. Okay, we're getting more. Off Karo, Bant. Aha, oh, wow, this is very good. So, Tora light, huh? Kya? Okay. Anyhow, so, that's fantastic. So, the first slide actually informs you about the ecological footprint on this planet. And at the moment, the ecological footprint of the planet is very negative. What does it mean? It means we use more resources than actually the planet can provide. What does it mean? We have an economic growth of 2, 3, 4%, and at the moment we are using the resources of 1.6 planets Earth. And if the economic growth goes on with 5% average, at 2030 we will use 2 planets Earth. This is very dramatic, and this is definitely not sustainable. And actually we should shrink. But this is a very bad word for the political process. No politician who wants to be re-elected will talk about that. They will all tell you we have to grow and we have to grow and we have to buy more things. And so we are growing and we are needing more and more resources of the planet. And we have been last year at the Biodiversity Conference in Hyderabad, which was organized by the UN. And we were told that India is using the resources of 2 Indias. This is why we have such massive problems in the area of supply, power generation, water supply in India. And the situation is very critical, especially in the big cities, Bombay, Hyderabad, Calcutta, and so on. It's okay, brother, huh? Everything fine? Just a second. Okay. We're doing some final adjustment. Okay. That's it. So we come to the next slide, and this slide actually shows you who are the real culprits on the planet. Those who are red, these are the countries which definitely using more of the available resources of the planet. And you can see China, India, the whole Middle East, America, and interestingly also totally Europe. They are definitely using more of the available resources. And countries like South America, Central Africa, Canada, and Russia, as well as Australia, they are green. They're using less resources. The reason is they have a low population. That's the main reason. If you see the consumption per head, the whole world is behaving very, very bad. And now we see another very interesting slide. The oil and gas age is coming to an end. What does it mean? You all came here by aeroplanes. And we're all here sitting on furniture, using electricity, which is made by gas and by oil and by fuels and so on. And actually, science tells us that the world peak production of gas and oil and fossil fuel has arrived. It means from now onwards, there is a downhill trend. What does it mean? It means in the future, energy prices will definitely go up. In America, they have found the way of fracking. It means they press chemicals into the ground and they crack the stones and gas comes out. But this gas only will create a little bubble here. It will not be really substantial and enough to change the overall scenario. What does it mean? We're driving a car on a highway. We are accelerating. The petrol gauge is completely empty, but we are laughing. There's a concrete wall in front of us, but we don't mind at all. Humanity is blind and is following a path which is leading us to total disaster. Everybody knows it, who knows these figures, everybody knows it, but it's not mainstream. It's not openly talked about because nobody wants to create fear or any upheaval. But the situation is quite dramatic. And on the other side, we have more than enough renewable energy resources. Renewable energy is sun, water power, wind power, it is the biomass, all these are renewable energy sources. And you can see, for example, this big cube is the sunshine coming every year to planet Earth. And this little cube is what we need every year. This is the world energy demand. And the sun shines, gives us 1,000 times more energy than what we actually need. But we are very, very stupid. Instead of using the sun on a large scale, we are using this called dirty energy carriers, oil, coal, gas, and uranium we are also using. But after Fukushima, you all know how dangerous nuclear power is. It's a one-way street. It's very, very dangerous technology. So humanity is not very smart. We are actually making war to have access to oil and gas to the last reserves. So we're not a very smart race, so much we can say. And about 3 weeks ago in Stockholm, the fifth Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change report has been published. The Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change has received 5 years ago or 4 years ago the Nobel Prize for its efforts to investigate the effects of climate change. These are around 600 scientists, 50 review scientists, which contribute to the report, which tells us, number one, the climate change is man-made. Number two, the ice will melt in future and the melting will accelerate. Number three, temperature will rise in the future and water levels also will come up. We will have more droughts and we will have more hurricanes and more typhoons and tornadoes and we have more storms and we have more flood flushing all over the world. And this will change the food production and this will have a lot of negative effects. 70% of humanity lives in coastal areas. They are predicting that the water level will come up. After some time, the first big cities on the coastal areas have to be evacuated because of the rising water level. This report has been published. It is out. And the scientists, they tell us, there is no more lack of evidence. What is there? There is a lack of action. And this report has been published. And in 3 weeks, the whole world meets in Warsaw. There is the next climate conference organized by the United Nations and the Brahma Kumaris environmental team will be also there. And we are trying to give hope and peace to all those souls which are very, very disturbed because the news are not very happy news at the moment. So, it's a very nice little picture I found. The world community actually acts very funny. You see, they are sitting here. This is the rich West. These are the poor little islands which are sinking, and they're saying, I'm sure glad the hole isn't at our end. That's actually how humanity is acting. They have no unity. It's a very disastrous situation, and this is actually what's happening at the climate conferences. We have America, which says, oh, climate change might not happen, and it's maybe natural, it's not human-made. We have Australia, which just got a new government, where they allowed now to start drilling in the Great Barrier Reef for oil and so on. And we have China with some interests, India with other interests, we have the European Union with some interests. Everybody has different interests, and there is no unity among world leaders how to solve the situation. And on the other side, Mahatma Gandhi said, there is sufficient in the world for man's need, but there is not enough for man's greed. So Mahatma Gandhi was a very wise person. Already 70 years ago, he gave such very interesting statements. And interestingly, you see this lady, she is hypnotized by 10,000 advertisements. And she firmly believes if she buys more and more and more, she's a happy person. So she is buying more and more goods. And if we are looking in our cupboard, when we come back, some of us, they will find, actually, I have too many shoes, or I have too many I have too many cloth, or I have too many iPhones, at least old iPhones, and I have too many gadgets, you know, because also we are under the influence of very, very smart advertisement, and we all on this planet Earth following the paradigm of materialism. Luckily, we are yogis, so we are a bit better positioned, but we are also under the influence. And interestingly, the lady she buys, it can be also a man. In my last presentation, I was told off a bit that this is a lady, why I have not a man there. Well, I just found this nice picture in the internet. And interestingly, all this is bought by credit. So what we have at the moment, we have a worldwide credit crisis, very serious. We have an environmental crisis, very, very serious. And we have a crisis of values and ethics. Is this okay? Or you want to give me a microphone with a cable? So we have a combination of three major crises coming together. An environmental crisis, a financial crisis, and a lack of ethics and value in this planet. And this is a little diagram. You might not be able to read it because you're sitting so far at the end. We have here the rising greenhouse gas emissions. Very bad for us on the planet because it will change the food, it will change the climate, and countries like India, for example, temperature will rise and the overall food production will fall. We have an unsustainable population growth. Thank you. 1, 2, 3. Much better. We have an unsustainable population growth. And about 3 months ago in England, a scientist and advisor, professor at the Oxford University, an advisor to the government of Britain, his name is Stephen Emmett, and he has published a book called 10 Billion People. And he says, it's a very dramatic situation. We have way too many people on this planet. And the last page of the book is white, then the next page is gray, and the last page of the last page is black. And he says, I cannot console you because we're too many people on this planet. It's a very dramatic situation, and it's actually said that the planet can only support 1.5 billion people in a sustainable lifestyle. 1.5 billion, and we have crossed 7 billion. So can you imagine how dramatic the situation is? We're running out of fossil fuels, which helps us to produce so much food and transport it to everywhere and cool it and pack it and so on. We're running out of cheap energy, and we're way too many people. So we have an unsustainable population growth, and here we have a chronic fiscal imbalance. What does it mean? All the governments in the world, they're in debt, and all the governments actually are bankrupt. The reason is they spend more money than their actual revenue. And the reason for that is because they want to get re-elected. And a big portion of all our budgets is for military purpose, which is not very productive. So it's a very unhealthy situation also on the fiscal front. And the last is, we are always very prone to critical system failure. You all know that we are all depending now on the internet. And 3 days ago, the biggest German email provider with 6 million people was down for 2 full days. Can you imagine? I could not receive emails for 2 full days. It was a total disaster. I started trembling and I thought, it's the end of my life and my career, because I was 2 days offline. You can imagine how serious that was. So the problem is our power generation, our water supplies, everything is digital now. Everything is run through the internet and everything is online. And it's a very, very critical situation. So we have a lot of critical situations, and in the middle, what do we have? You can't read it, but I can read it. It's called, we have a global governance failure. We have nobody there who's responsible for the mess. Of course, Shiv Baba is there. And we all know that the time will come when Shiv Baba, with a lot of trumpets and angels surrounding him, will descend on planet Earth and will say, here I am, and I will clear up this mess, and I will all take you back, and Golden Age will come. But at the moment, he's incognito. So there's a global governance failure. There's no international body, no international organization, which is able to tackle those problems. Even addressing them and speaking them out openly is very difficult. Because there are a lot of interest groups also, which see that some of these problems are not spoken out openly. So it's a very complicated situation at the moment for the Globus. Okay, so now after these doom and gloom pictures, I would like to come to the second part and start a little bit what we can do as an individual. You all heard that we have an environmental webpage and an environmental initiative with the Brahma Kumaris, and we can adopt a green lifestyle. And next year when you come to Madhuban, you can just change the color of your dresses a little bit to green, and this will have a very positive impact. And you can rethink your consumeristic pattern. It means, do I really have to buy the latest G5 Apple iPhone, or is the G3 still doing the job? Or a friend has something and I can share. So rethink if you buy something. Reuse the goods. Recycle them. Reuse and recycle them. And then reduce also your consumption. And it is said if we do a careful energy audit, you can Google in internet for energy audit, it means you look how much do I consume, how much do I travel, how much electricity is my fridge using, how much light I'm using, how much water I'm consuming. This is called an energy audit. If you look into it and you do some fine-tuning, it is said that up to 30% of electricity, of water, of fuel can be saved just by smart management and thinking before you act. So look into these 4 R's and see where you can do something. And also our centers, they can do something. They can put solar hot water on the rooftop. They can have some little garden. They can have some solar hot water. They can start recycle things. They may can share things. Many BKs, they have some good, nice cappuccino machine, which we would need here in Madhuban urgently, and they can give it to us and share it with us. Things like that, you know. Oh, who's laughing there? You have a cappuccino machine? Okay, just not so important. Okay, so what does it mean? All the change always starts with me. Baba tells us, children, time, you are the timekeeper of the world transformation. So if you change, the world will change. If I change, the family changes, the community changes, the country changes, life on earth and future generation. It's even here for the BK family, it's the same thing, no? We have all these beautiful interactions with our brothers and sisters and these test papers and so on, you know. And the only way out is I change myself. I become a light and might house, and I walk the talk, as we say in English. I become the embodiment of what I preach, and then I do have impact. So, change, it all starts with me, so I can become an example of good action. Okay? So, and here I have a very latest, very interesting picture. This is actually a NASA photo which has been taken 2 weeks ago from an out-of-space satellite, and this picture of the Earth is not yet widely published. I got it through some underground web pages. And you can see that Earth is smiling happily and is surrounded by dancing vegetables. The reason is we are all vegetarians. And by being vegetarians, it is said, you save almost 30% of the greenhouse gas emissions. Imagine if the whole world would go vegetarian. It would mean there would be no hunger on the planet. No hunger. The hunger problem immediately would be eradicated. But the climate change also would stop immediately because we would cut greenhouse gas emission by 30%. Just go vegetarian. And if you're smart people, you can even think going vegan. Who is vegan here in the hall? Vegan. Okay. Couple of you. Very good. Very healthy. Because, unfortunately, the cows from whom we are getting the milk, they're also not really happy, you know. They're kept in mass farms and they have a very miserable life. So if we consider going vegan, it is a good thing. And energetically seen, it's even better. And you see here on this side, there is a indication. So all the meat and the fish and the stuff is red. It means very high climate impact. And here, the corn, the meal, the cereals, is all green. This is good. This is the stuff we should take. So I show this also at the climate conferences, and I try to convince people to become vegetarian. And I got an email from the World Association of Animals, and they say, love us, not eat us, all life is precious. But most stunning is this latest picture from the NASA satellite. This really stuns people and leaves them speechless, like you are also speechless at the moment. Good. So the Brahma Kumaris has a environmental initiative, and our sister Sonia is also here. She's our secretary and organizes all our activities. And our slogan at the moment is Living in Harmony, but we have a new one, huh? The latest one is the world. Huh? Okay, Sonia will say the latest slogan. And we have a webpage, www.environment.brahmakumaris.org. And I have some leaflets and brochures here of the solar and of the Brahma Kumaris Environmental Initiative, and you can take them later. And this environmental initiative, we have three major areas. We go to the UN, and we interact there with the UN. We participate, we have workshops, we have conferences, we give speeches, we have side events, and we go to the ministers, and so on, and so on. And we have a BK group, which deals with our centers, and we give recommendations for the centers, how to change what they can do on the center level without spending too much money. And we're going into partnerships. There's one group called Pachamama, and we're going into partnership with this Pachamama group and other organizations, and we're trying to interact and build a bridge towards these groups. It's very, very important. It's a very successful work going on since the Copenhagen Conference 2008, I think. And the next climate conference is in Warsaw, and you will see in the news, and you can follow up. And I think in the Rosary also we will have a regular update, and on our webpage there will be a regular update. And here you can see the happy green team in Doha on the last conference. Our sister Jenti, she's our chief spokesperson, and she's our shining star, and all these people, they are melting when she speaks, which is very lovely to see. And we are having all these conferences, and officially part of the UN process. You can see here was dialogue of the religious leaders, what religions can contribute to save the planet. And it's very interesting. Jenty Ben was the only woman. She was with a sheikh and a Christian guy and a Jewish guy. She was on the dais, and it was very interesting to hear what they're all saying. They all say this planet is made by God for us, and we should protect it, and it's our duty to keep it in order. That's what they all say. And you see here, we have sometimes, we're lucky we get invited on very high level discussions also. And the beauty is you run into all the top politicians of the world. Jenty Ben was last conference in Rio. She was running in the Vice Premier Minister of UK, Mr. Clegg. He was just coming the corridor, and Jenty just said and told him, "I always wanted to meet you." Of course, he couldn't then say anything much on that. But she was able to give the message to him. Now, what are we doing at the Brahma Kumaris? The Brahma Kumaris and its sister organization, the... Wow, this microphone is really heavy. The Brahma Kumaris and its daughter organization, the World Renewal Spiritual Trust, is a recognized solar research center with the government of India. It means we almost have a similar status in the solar research area than a university, which is very special, and we got that status 3 years ago after frantically applying for another 4 years and sending hundreds of papers to them. Finally, they agreed that we are good guys and they gave us a status as a research institute. And we are conducting research in photovoltaic, solar steam cooking, water recycling, solar hot water, and so on, and energy efficiency. We started actually with renewable energy research about 18 years ago, and meanwhile the Brahma Kumaris is the biggest institutional user of solar energy in India. And in 1997 we installed a solar steam cooking system in our Gyan Sarovar complex. I'm just showing you five examples what we have done. This was a research project sponsored by the German government. We cooked 2,000 meals, and the system works still perfect as on today, almost 2010, almost 15, 16 years now it is working without a problem. And what we did is we have these dishes, and the dishes, they focus the sunlight, and they focus it on the receiver. In the receiver is water, and the water starts boiling, and we have steam. And the steam we send to the kitchen. We set up in 1999 a solar steam cooking system in Shantivan around the corner. Who has seen the solar steam cooking system in Shantivan? Oh, very few hands. Tomorrow you go to the kitchen and you just go on the other side of the kitchen. There's a building, and on top of that is an accommodation block. On top of that is this solar steam cooking system. And we built it in 1999, and it has 84 parabolic dishes, like 84 life we also take in the cycle. So we take 84 dishes, and we cook 35,000 meals every day. So some of your meal which you're eating is cooked by sun energy. So here you can see an aerial photograph. We are sitting now here in the conference hall, and here's the solar cooker on rooftop. So have a look. The boys who are maintaining there, the solar team who's maintaining and operating, they will be very happy to see some visitors coming and showing up. Huh? Okay, and you can see here we have a dish. The dish focuses the sunlight on the receiver. In the receiver we have water, and the water starts boiling, and we have steam. All fabrication, erection was done locally by us. The design came from Germany, from a friend of us, from Wolfgang Schaeffler. And here you can see another system which we have set up in Global Hospital. Global Hospital was needing some system for food, for the canteen, and for the sterilization, and for the washing. So we set up a small system with 20 dishes, and it works very smoothly. We also do a lot of work in the area of photovoltaic. Photovoltaic means you have these little blue cells. The sunlight comes and electricity is generated. It's a DC current, a direct current, and that electricity you send to these huge, huge batteries. And we have now more than 3,000 batteries in the institution. We have almost 200 systems all over India. Many of the centers, they have such a system, a photovoltaic system. In Ahmedabad Lotus House, we have 15 kilowatt. In Pandav Bhavan in Delhi, we have 10 kilowatt. Everywhere in the main centers in India, we have a lot of photovoltaic. And this projector and the emergency light here in Shantivan is completely running from our photovoltaic system. So we're trying to provide a backup solution when the power fails, that we still have light. And 2 years ago, Baba in Amurli, he said, outside there will be darkness and we will have light. So that's where we're working a bit towards that time, which hopefully, I hope it will not come too soon. But when it will come, and we should be prepared to some extent. So what we're doing is we generate the electricity in daytime and we store it in the batteries, and it will be available 24 hours. So most of the computers in the Yagya, in Madhuban, in Gyan Sarovar, and in here, they're running on solar. Emergency light runs on solar. Baba's room runs on solar. Sometimes the street light runs on solar. And we're trying to give electricity to all the critical consumers in the institution. Yeah, and this is another example. This is Om Shanti Retreat Center in Delhi. There we put a 200 kilowatt power plant on the rooftop. And we also have a solar steam cooking system. And at the moment, we are adding another 250 kilowatt in Om Shanti Retreat Center. You know, these are all big systems. We are talking here of millions of US dollar. And what we are doing is we go to the government, they have a scheme, and we get 50 or 70% subsidy. Baba gives the rest of the money, and we get a system. So, and fabrication, foundation work, erection, and installation was all done by our own team. At the moment, we are almost 80 brothers in solar department. 50 of them are working on solar site. 30 brothers are Shantivan, Gyan Sarovar, and Pandav Bhavan, and some other places. And they are looking into the maintenance of all these systems. Now I would like to share with you the last project we are doing. It's called India One. And 5 years ago, we had a nice spaghetti party in Solar House. Giorgio, our Italian brother, was cooking it. And we had the inspiration we should set up a big power plant. And now, interestingly, we're halfway through. We had no money, we had no idea how to do it, and somehow Baba makes it possible. Very interesting. So this name of the project is called India One, because it's the first solar dish thermal power plant with storage and in cogeneration. And I will explain what it means. It's a project by Brahma Kumaris and the World Renewal Spiritual Trust. And this is a project which is partly funded by the Indian government. And interestingly, the Indian government has a ministry for new and renewable energy sources, a solar ministry. And they have a minister which only looks into renewable energies in India. They have a full-fledged ministry for solar energy. And some money comes from them, and some money comes from the German government, from the Ministry of Environment and Forest. The total project costs is around 15 million US dollar. And we are halfway through. We got quite a good money from the German and Indian government. But somehow halfway through we are running a bit tight. So we just have applied for another 6 million US dollar to the German and Indian government. And luckily all the German government officers and decision makers, they have been to Mount Abu and met Daddy Janki. And they say, okay, we will give you more money. Now we just have to convince the Indian government also to give us more money. They already said we also will do it. But a certain headshake was there, so we have to go regular to Delhi. I'm actually going quite regular to Delhi and go to the ministry and say, sir, you have to sanction the money to us. And he said, we will do, we will do. And so I will give Toli. So ultimately he has no chance. Huh? Ultimately he has to do. So the project is a joint project between the Indian and the German government, and we are working with one of the most famous research institutes, the Fraunhofer Institute. This is a very prestigious project. It's a flagship project by Germany and by India. We work with one of the most prestigious research institute in the world, and most of the people in the solar field, they know that Brahma Kumaris is taking some very ambitious, very highly respected research project up at the moment, and we hope very, very soon we will be able to inaugurate it and provide electricity and power for here. There's a web page, www.india-1.net, and here I have 50 brochures. So if you're very keen, you can take one of these brochures, or you can come on solar site for a visit and take more information material there. And you see here we set up the 60 square meter parabolic dish for testing. Our small dishes would not work. We focus the sunlight on the receiver, and in the receiver we can achieve a temperature of 1600 centigrades. This is very, very high, and we don't want such a high temperature because otherwise all and everything inside will melt. So we keep the temperature to 500 degrees and store it inside the iron mass of this receiver. Around that is a coil, so when we want steam, we pump water through it. That's how we can store it. If you have more questions and details, come on site and have a look. There are a couple of prototypes running. This is the layout. Is our Shantivan complex. This is Manmohini, and this is solar site. It is 1.4 kilometers from gate number 3. You walk to the other side, and after 1.4 kilometers, it will come. You can walk there, you can take a rickshaw, or sometimes even a car goes there, Baba's car goes there, and you can come and you can visit the site. We produce electricity here, and hot water, and send hot water electricity to the campus. We will produce also 1 million liter hot water every day, so you will get in future always a hot bath. This will come in future also from that power plant. And this is the layout. We have to build 770 dishes. You can imagine one dish has a weight of 3 tons and consists out of 600 single metal pieces which are bent as per a special design. They are shot glass, they are painted, they are put together, welded together. We make 2,100 foundations and we have another 3,000 tons of receivers. So you can imagine what happened. I actually was planning to retire and sit upstairs in Gyan Sarovar and do tapasya and don't do anything. And suddenly we are building such a monster power plant. We have fabrication hall number 1, fabrication hall number 2, and we are building and building and cutting and welding. We have 40 welding machines, plasma cutting machine, roller machine, 4 lead machines, 200 workers and 50 BKs on site. And we fabricate literally everything ourselves because we found out it's cheaper. And as economy is very, very important to us because we don't have so much money, we do it and we fabricate most of the things ourselves. You can see here we do a very intelligent design with our own structural engineering software, our own structural division, and we look that the material is used most economic. This is the stand fabrication, and we have a very ambitious timetable. We want to commissioned the plant in November 2014 and do the test and evaluation in January 2015. This is the latest timetable. I've updated it yesterday, so hopefully we can stick to that. And this is the first dish which we erected. This is now the erection of the dishes, and this is the solar field as it looks now. And this is also the solar field. And this is our turbine house. We have a Siemens turbine. We send the steam to the turbine. The turbine will turn and will drive a generator. And this is as it looks now, and this is a picture 3 days ago. Who has been on solar site? Okay, half of you have been to solar site. So invite all of the other half, you please come and have a look and give some 5 minutes good yoga in Baba's room there for the project, because vibration is most important. So this is the solar field, and you can see very good progress. What can you do to help us a bit? First and foremost, send your powerful vibrations. Baba always tells us everything is based on our good thoughts and our powerful vibration. And this project is, for me personally, my gateway to perfection, but for you a chance to help us a bit also to become perfect fast. So send us your good vibrations. You can also become a patron. And if you have, by chance, too much money in your secret bank account in the Cayman Islands or of the Bahamas or in Liechtenstein or Switzerland, you can talk to me later behind the stage. And there's always ways and means. You can network, and you can look into our webpage, and we have a Facebook, and you can give some positive comments. You can share this information about the power plants with others, and you can use this activity also in your service at your local centers, and you can say, hey, we're not only doing meditation, we also build solar power plants. It's good. Some people will say, wow, good organization. So now the big question is how we do change. This is the last part of the presentation. What it's all about, thoughts and all these kind of things. As you have seen, we're going to this climate conference and people are very frustrated there because they see it's going downhill. And they all try to preserve and conserve Mother Nature, and it's going and getting destroyed. I will be very fast now because already 9:40. So what do we need? The disappearance of values has initiated the degradation of the outer environment. What does it mean? Actually, it says the impurity in our mind reflects itself in the impurity in the outer world. If I have lost ethics and value, my actions are no more good, and my actions become selfish, and nature will come and pay back to me. If I'm greedy and I want more, nature will suffer. It means ethics and values, they have to come back, otherwise environment will degrade further, because the nature of the environment is a reflection of my consciousness and my awareness. So we need a common understanding through sharing the same value system. And that's exactly the message which we are giving at the UN conferences. We need to look at universal values and ethics, because there is no more ethical system. There's no common ground. They all want to save the planet, but they all want to do it in a different way. And they all don't trust the other country. Chinese don't trust the Americans. The Americans don't trust the Russians. And the Russians, they don't trust the Indians. And the Indians, they don't trust anybody. So it's like, you know, it's a very complicated world out there. So, we need a value system and ethics. Values and the technology, they have to go hand in hand. That's very, very important. If technology is not guided and supported by an ethic and a value system, technology will turn against us. If technology is used by greedy people, it will be used in a very negative way. You can see the internet now, after the revelations of the whistleblower, Mr. Snowden, we come to know all our emails are read. Nothing is secret anymore. All our bank transactions are read. They all know, the NSA in America, they all know that you are here at the moment, and they might be listening also to this conversation through a spy satellite and a long-range microphone or whatever they have, you know. Nothing is secret anymore, so technology very easily can be turned against us. So this is very important that we need ethics and values back in that, otherwise it's very hopeless. And that's how we try to build the bridge at the UN conferences and go to these people, and they come to us now, and after 8 years of going to the conferences, they say to us, you are right. There's probably no other way out. So, our thoughts and visions are the key to transform the planet. It's very, very important that we understand that at the basis, at the root of everything is my thought process. My thought is creating a vibration. Quite often it creates also a vision. And based on that vibration, that vision, I'm acting. And then through my action, I have the power actually to change and to transform. So, the thoughts and the vision, they have to become elevated and they have to become pure. Otherwise, we cannot create this pure world. This is very, very important also for the BKs to understand that thoughts have a very strong effect on two levels. Number one level is the thoughts and the visions, they affect our actions. It's quite obviously, you know, if I think good, I do good. But thoughts and vibration also have an effect on submolecular structure of matter. And there have been many research projects going on in the 80s and in the 90s in Princeton in USA, which prove beyond doubt that the mind is directly influencing matter. And some of our latest scientific findings, they say, the consciousness is a fundamental part of this physical universe. And without consciousness, the physical universe will not exist. That's what the latest finding in science tells us. What does it mean? We are the foundation, and that's what Baba tells us, actually. So, our thoughts and visions are the key to transform the world. And I just want to share with you some simple pictures of the Japanese guy Masaru Emoto, who has done some very interesting research work on the power of thoughts. He took water, and he put the water there and called people from the streets, and he says, have positive thoughts. And they had positive thoughts on the water, and the water, then what he did is, he shock froze the water, cut it in small slices, and put polarized light on it, put it under a microscope, and you can see these beautiful crystals. So these are crystals from positive thoughts. I love you, you are my friend, I'm very happy. And it took only 5 minutes to make the water like that. Then he did the reverse effect. He took the same water and he says, now you have negative thoughts. Water, I don't like you, you're not my friend, I hate you, and so on. And that's how the water looks like then. So you can imagine what a powerful effect our thoughts have. And water is a very, very sensitive information indicator. And our planet consists 70% out of water. Our body consists 60% out of water. So imagine what an effect you have Monday morning. You wake up and you say, my God, I have to go to work. And it's raining outside. And I have to put petrol in the car. And there's nothing in the fridge. What a bad day. If you have that kind of thought, all your water molecules, they will feel very uneasy. And interestingly, water reacts also on music. And this is a Mozart symphony. Very beautiful. And this is the water after heavy metal music. So it indicates also, and actually, if you are sick, the water of your cells look like this. And if you are healthy, it looks like this. So now imagine our culture is also degraded because heavy metal music creates sick cells, sick water in the cells. Very, very interesting. There are many, many experiments done in Princeton University which indicate not only Masaru Emoto, many, many other people also, mind is influencing matter. Mind has a fundamental influence, is part of this physical universe. And that's how we're actually going to create a new world. So, what did Mahatma Gandhi say? I'm referring, I have only 3 more slides. Always aim at complete harmony of thought, word and deed. Always aim at purifying your thoughts and everything will be well. Gandhi lived 70, 80 years ago, very smart gentleman. Is reborn, maybe somewhere here. And he was very smart, no? He already saw that everything will be well if we have pure thoughts. It's very, very interesting. And now every BK, he has to think also, because what we find out when we came to those environmentalists at the conference, they all want to conserve and preserve the nature. But what we bhikkhus actually want to do, we also want to conserve and preserve nature. You want to conserve nature? You want to become nature conservationists? No, we bhikkhus, we want to liberate nature. We want to liberate ourselves and liberate nature. We want to set everything free. So we liberate nature, and once we liberate nature, we can transform nature. And once we transform nature, when we can create new nature. So you all have to think, what role do I play in the transformation of this world? And now you understand that your thoughts influence matter directly and are very, very powerful. And you understand that your consciousness is a fundamental part of this physical universe. Now you have to find out, what is my role and how do I change and transform this world? And very important, as always, we have to start with ourselves first. In order to do all that, we have to heal ourselves. We have to all become healers. Once we heal ourselves, now many bhikkhus, they try when they come in Gyan, they want to heal everybody else, but they forget a bit about themselves. So first we have to heal ourselves, then we have to heal our friends. And once we've done that, we can heal the world. That's how we can reach out and we can become healers. So we are the yogis sitting in the center. We have the eight powers around us. We practice yoga, meditation, we have the wisdom, the compassion and the bliss. And through this meditation we are able to change everything and transform everything. And then towards the better world we use the values and ethics, peace, cooperation, unity and values. And the sustainable technology is there. It has been all the time there. It was never lost, we just have to use it selectively. And that's what we're going in Golden Age. We're using a pure, efficient technology because our mind is pure. So, I thank you very, very much for the time. And there's the webpage www.indiaone.net. And we have brochures here in front. And we have brochures for our solar project, which you can take. And Sister Sonia will just say hello for 1 minute to you. And if you have questions, you can catch me tomorrow, or you can come please on solar site. And I thank you very much for your time.
Om Shanti. Yes. We just made some very nice blessing cards for all of you. And they're very beautiful, so I thought we could finish with 1 minute of silence together. And I'll just read 2-3 lines from these blessing cards. And you will all have one blessing card if you leave through door number 1 or 2. You will have your little special sustainable blessing. It's 10 ways to change the world. And you can open your heart to change the world. You can follow your dream, you can walk your talk, you can live simply, you can be unlimited and be respectful, and it's very beautiful. And there's also leaflets out there and here up in the front. And we do actually need help in the green service field, so if any of you find this interesting and have time, you please come and talk to us. So let's have a minute of silence together. Maybe we change the light or something. It's the order of it. Yeah, thank you. I'll sit here. Yeah. Now I want to stay. I want to sit. So this is blessing number 1. I open my heart. When I connect with the environment in all its many forms, my heart opens like a flower, and I feel at one with everything. my capacity to create the future expands when I tap into my spiritual power. Practicing compassion and forgiveness enables me to heal the heart of the world. Om Shanti.